Bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. And Lord, there is never enough that we can thank you for because you have been so gracious to us. As we look at your word, help us to see what you want us to see and hear and understand what all took place. Helping our hearts and our minds to be stayed on you. In Jesus' name, amen. The gospel text for today was found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of Man," or Son of God. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see that Jesus again had been doing miracles, and as they were getting ready to maybe go across the Sea of Galilee, they seen all these people coming to him, and so they were coming out of the cities and out of all the places around to hear Jesus speak. And as they came, Jesus had compassion on them, and he set them down and he taught them. And he maybe taught them all day or at least a long part of the day, so it was getting towards evening. And then he had said to Philip, he had says, "Where are we going to get food to feed these people?" And Philip says, "Send them away. 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little bit." And Jesus said, "Have them sit down, and we will feed them." And Andrew came and says, "We have a boy here that has some loaves and some fishes." And Jesus took those loaves and those fishes, and he looked up into heaven, and he blessed them, and he broke them. And he had the people sit down in 50s and 100, if you will recall. And there was about 5,000 men there, besides men, women and children. And the disciples became waiters, and they fed these people all they wanted. Then to show that there's no waste, and God does not waste his time or his things that he has made, he told the disciples, he says, "You go and pick up everything that's left, all the remnants of the food and so forth." And they found they had 12 baskets full. And so there was nothing wasted. And they had picked it all up and had a very clean place. Now Jesus tells them, he tells his disciples or his apostles, he says, get in the boat and we're going to go across the lake Galilee and we'll spread the gospel over there. And he says, you guys go ahead and start. I'll send the people away. And so he sent the people away and it was getting dark. And so he went up into the mountain to pray. And it says there that he prayed long and into the fourth watch of the night. Now, if we were to look at the watches in which the Jews looked at him at that time, he came walking on the water sometime between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. So he had been praying to God his Father and getting the communion with him throughout the night. And so he comes walking on the water. Now we see that the wind had come up and the disciples, maybe they had been tired so they hadn't been rowing real hard, I don't know. It says they were in the middle of the lake about 3 or 4 miles out because Galilee is about 7 miles wide at that point. And so they're out in the middle of the lake and the wind was contrary to the way they were rowing. And they see a man walking on the water. And they get scared, and they think superstitiously, it's a ghost. And how many people of us, even today, we say, it's a ghost. I have ghosts in my house. I have ghosts haunting me. I have ghosts showing up where I don't expect them. I personally do not believe in ghosts. I believe that the evil demons can come and harass us. The evil demons can be in homes and harass the people that live there, but not a ghost as we would think of it as a ghost. A couple years ago, back in Thief River, there was a family that said they had ghosts in their house. And they said those ghosts would come out at certain times and certain hours of the night. And so they called the University of North Dakota, and they had some people come over with all their electronic gadgets, and they had been doing this in a number of places. And they says, we find ghosts in several houses. I don't believe they do that. I believe there can be evil demons in those houses that's living there because of the people that live there and that served Satan instead of God. Or there can be evil demons living there because they don't know where they should go at the present time, or they don't have anybody that they can, bodies that they can enter. And your evil spirits can enter your body if you allow them. And they can control you. And they can have you do all kinds of things that you wouldn't do. Anyhow, they had their electronic equipment. And they found that there was disturbances in that house. And at certain times, certain way the moon was shining or whatever it was, and they professed then there must be ghosts in that house. Now, if you were going to sell that house, and they would say, is there anything different? Well, we have ghosts. How many people would want to live in it? Some people I have read where they will take and they'll say, we have ghosts. And they're friendly ghosts. That is not so. I believe there is evil spirits in there. And yes, they will be friendly to you if you do what they tell you to do or what they convince you should do. And that's not to serve Jesus Christ. And that's to think of worldly things and to live for the world and for yourself. You see, when Jesus was walking on the water and they thought they seen a ghost, they cried out, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, do not fear. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter then, of course, he is the one that we feel has been very outspoken. And if he was trying Jesus or if he wanted to make sure it was Christ, he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus says, come on, Peter. Get out of the boat and come to me. And so Peter says, it's the Lord. So he gets out of the boat and he is excited. He's going to walk to Christ on the water. And we walk through life the same way. We should have Christ in our lives, and in faith we're following him. But we do the same thing Peter did. Peter seen the boisterous waves coming, and he got fearful. We see the things in life coming about us, and we become fearful, and we do not trust in the faith that we should have, and we do not put our faith in God and Christ Jesus and what he did on the Calvary's cross to save us from our sin and to help us through these things. You know, Noah built an ark when it hadn't rained, and I'm sure people made all kinds of fun of him. And he kept on in his faith. He says, God told me to build this. And God took him through the flood. And God saved him and his family because he had faith in what God had told him to do. And he did not waver from that faith. And this is what Jesus is telling us. And he says, Peter, come to me. Do not doubt. Do not be afraid, but keep your eyes on me on the cross of Calvary, realizing that I have shed my precious blood for you and given you redemption and salvation. And do not doubt. You know, in James it tells us, he says, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you can ask and it will be done for you when you glorify God in all that you say or do. We see that God gave us not only redemption and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, but he has told us that in faith we have to have this trust in him above all things. That we have to trust in him regardless of what's happening in our daily lives. If it's at the job, at home, or wherever it is. If it's our families, or if it's our friends taking advantage of us or making fun of us. We keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will see that he will walk us through these hard times of life. And that we will see that as we walk through these hard times of life, that even though the boisterous things of the world is coming up against us, we have that peace which passes all understanding, that peace that only Christ can give. And he gives it to us because we trust in him and our faith is solid, trusting on him in all things. We do that in prayer. As we talked about last week, prayer is a communication between us and God. And we want to keep that communication open to the point that God will help us to see the things that we should be doing or saying and to do and to live even through these hard times that may come upon our lives here on the earth. That we're only here for a short time, and that our time here is spent to show other people that we have Christ living in us and Christ living for us. That as people see Christ in us, they will glorify him and not ourselves. We see, too, that as a redemption through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, it's for us in faith, and that we can see God has given us so much. He has been just to give us grace and mercy. He has been just to give us more than we ever expected. And, you know, even Job, as all the things he went through and we read about it, and his wife told him to curse the day he was born. And he says, Lady, I want you to understand, God gives and God takes away. If he has the right to give us blessings, he has the right to take them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. And it's not taking it out only on his wife, but he was telling the whole world that. He says, you know, even though my flesh rots in the grave and turns to dust, I in my flesh will see my Savior face to face. And I will see him in my flesh. Because in eternity, when we are called before the judgment throne, we will be immortal. if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into thy rest." And if we have done and rejected Christ, we will hear him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." So we look in our own daily lives and we say, "Lord, what would you have me to do today for you? Would you have me serve you in what way? Help me to understand and help me to have my heart and my mind stayed on you. Help me to be humble and help me to repent of my sins and my wrongdoings and my failure to trust in you." You know, David, as he committed adultery, then he, to cover that up, he committed murder. And when it came to him, he acknowledged it before God, and he says, "Lord God, only against you and you alone have I sinned." And God says, "This child that's going to be born to Bathsheba will not live." And when the baby was born, David went fasting in sackcloth and ashes, and he did that until the baby died, and he seen the men around him, and they were wondering how they were going to tell him the baby had died. And he looked, and he says, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "Yes." And he got up, and he says, "Let us wash up and eat." And they were surprised. "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, the child was alive. I fasted and I prayed that God may change his mind and give us that child and let him live. But that child is dead, and therefore I can go to him, but he cannot return to me because he has gone from this life." And God says David was a man after his own heart because David was willing to repent. David was willing to acknowledge his sin before God and to acknowledge it and to humble himself, asking for God to give him the Holy Spirit and not take it away and to keep his heart humble. You, Jesus said, told Peter here, "Come." And he's telling each of us to come. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me." If we look into John, we see so very plainly there that Jesus has spoken in John 3:18. He says, "If you believe in me," if you believe in the Son of God and you have that faith and trust in him and you give your first place to him in all things, you will be saved and you will be in heaven and you will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But, he says, if you reject him and do not believe him, you are already condemned because you have rejected Jesus Christ and you have trodden underfoot the holy gospel and you have trodden underfoot the salvation that God has given to the world in which to save us and to reconcile us back to God the Father himself. And that salvation was planned, as Paul tells us, that it was planned even before the foundation of the world. It was already in place. The angels didn't know what it was, but it was already in place. And God already had a plan of how it would work. And he tells us then in James as well as in Matthew, he says that we are to not only believe in Christ, but Jesus says in Matthew, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, and do not doubt, you will be saved." And Jesus says, "Those that have faith and trust in me unto the end, they will be saved." You see, when the end time comes and the books are opened, a book will be opened and everything we said or did will be exposed. Every thought we had or every intent of our thoughts will be exposed. And then another book is opened, and it's a book of life. And it says there that it will be searched diligently. And if your name is in the book of life and not blotted out, you will have eternal life. But if it's blotted out, you are cast from heaven into eternity of damnation and of fire and hell. We see Christ is not joking. He is not being funny. He is telling us the truth. How many of us are willing to stand up for the Lord? We read more and more throughout the world how the Christians are being crucified and how people are being killed. Many of them aren't Christians. Many of them don't believe, but because they won't turn to ISIS or Islamic, they're cut off and they are killed. We had a Japanese journalist killed yesterday, and we see these things happening more and more. They are teaching their young people. They said, we want to teach you how to cut off their heads cleanly, because if you do that, then you will be blessed with more virgins when you get into their Allah or their heaven. This is what they're teaching their young people. Are we standing up and teaching our young people, you must have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? You must walk with him. Or are we letting them go and we're seeing God pushed out of the schools and out of many other different places more and more every day? And then we wonder why we have so much problem, because God is not there and we don't want him there. Or we're saying, Lord, where are you? And he's saying, I was there and you didn't want me. You pushed me away. I was in your life. You didn't want me. You wanted to do it your own way. Or are we saying, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord Jesus, to trust in you above all things. Help me to come to you when I'm in problems and in trouble, that I have you first and foremost in all that I say or do. Help my heart and my spirit to long for you and to live for you, and that as I work and as I talk and as I meet people, they will see you in me and glorify you, because they know you are my Lord and Savior. This is how we should be praying, and this is how we have to do it. Come, Jesus says unto me. As he entered the boat, they all came and worshiped him and said, you are the Son of God. Do we always acknowledge Christ as the Son of God, or do we think we know better? So many times we want to do it our own way. We forget that we have people around us that we have to work with. We forget that we have to go to Christ every day as family devotions or individual devotions, and in prayer, maybe many times a day. And you see, going back to the ghosts, when we moved into Thief River from Fargo, we walked through every room in our house and into the basement and in our garage. And we said, Lord God, this is your house. We wanted to glorify you. Take and cast all evil spirits from it and keep it from being possessed by any evil spirit or any evil deed. And Lord, help it to glorify you, because it's yours. And we dedicated that place to the Lord. And we still want to do that every day, because God is the one that has sent his Son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. He's the one that planned salvation, that we could be reconciled back to him by having Christ in our heart and our lives, that we would pray without ceasing, that we would pray without doubting, that we would believe as we should, and that we would trust in him above all things, that we would come to him daily, and that we would ask him to help us through the hard times of life. And yes, we have many of them, but you know, somebody else may have it a little harder than us, that we should be holding up in prayer. Someone else may be having a little more difficulty than we got, and yet we don't want to pull them in prayer. We think we have it so hard. Are we turning our complete life over to Christ and saying, Jesus, take me as I am. Help me go through life and help me to live for you each day, that people would say Jesus is living in that person's life. Praise the Lord if we can do that. And praise the Lord to help us to see his will in all that we say or do, that he is glorified and not we ourselves. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to come to you, to not only come to you, but to bring our problems to you, because you have told us to come with our burdens and to give them to you, and you will take care of them for us as we trust in you. Help our faith to grow. Help our Christian life to grow in such a way that people will see you in us and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 572.